Your Bibles tonight to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 8, as we get ready, continue to go through the book of Judges here. We're going to finish up on the story of Gideon this week, and we're going to look at how to finish well. How to finish well. One of the things about Gideon was he did not finish very well. God used him in some amazing, miraculous ways. You think about it, how God called him. Remember when he was threshing the wheat and called him while he was by the wine press, and he was nervous. He was tentative. He was scared of the Midianites, and how God used him and just 300 men to take on 135,000. It was a great victory. And you would think that after such a great victory, that it would be an easy, smooth ride as a Christian, but it just doesn't work that way. Even when we have great victories, we got to continue on fighting. Even when we see God do miraculous things, it's not time to let our guard down. I'm sure that this man, after he had been called to be a warrior, he probably thought his greatest battles were behind him. But little did Gideon know that the greatest battles he would face is before him. Because he's not dealing with the battlefield of the warriors, he's dealing with the battlefield of his heart. So tonight I'd like to read through the scriptures and give a commentary on it, talk a little bit about it, and then look at four different things that can help us to finish well. Four different things that can help us to finish well. We're going to start here in Judges chapter number 8. We're going to start in verse number 22. We see here that they've caught, they've destroyed, they've won the battle against the Midianites. In verse number 22, it says, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." So they come to him and says, "Look, King Gideon, we want you to be king. Not only do we want you to be king, we want you to be a perpetual king. We want you to pass down this kingdom from your son to the next son." And it's in the reference here that they wanted to establish a line of a king here. And Gideon knew that this was wrong. The nation of Israel knew this was wrong. God was the one that wanted to rule over them. We're going to look at that in a little while, is that he wanted a theocracy and the fact that God was going to use and rule over them. God did not want them to have a king at this point in time. Luckily, verse number 23 here, you see that Gideon actually probably wins his greatest battle here. No, he has this opportunity. His people are coming to him and saying, "We want to make you king," and he is going to be set up for life. But Gideon says in verse 23 with the response, "And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." So he gives the right answer there, and praise the Lord for that. You see that he's saying he's not, there's no maybe to it. It is that he's not going to do that. But verse 24, you see Gideon responds with a request. "And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them." So he asked their request, and you know they're going to make him king, so they're willing to do whatever they wanted to him for him. And he says, "Look, I want you to give me this." And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. And this is about approximately 60 pounds. 60 pounds of gold in their day and time is worth over $1 million. "Besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about the camels' necks." And Gideon made an ephod. Now we see here this ephod is something that only the high priest is supposed to wear. And one of the things that you see is interesting in the book of Judges, you don't see a high priest mentioned in the book of Judges. And it shows you of the wickedness of the days of Judges, that there is really the more than likely it's a corrupt priesthood that's going on here. We see that at other times in the book of Judges, but there is no spiritual leader here. And I think what Gideon's trying to do here is trying to make himself a spiritual leader, and should be very careful about trying to make yourself something. It says, "And put it in his city." Now, once again, he has chosen it, not even put it in a place where it's, you know, could be called holy in the Shechem area. But no, he is doing this on his own. These are fleshly things. He puts it in his own city, and even in Ophrah. And it says, "And all Israel went thither a whoring after it," meaning that the nation of Israel went there and was worshiping this ephod. "Which thing became a snare," which refers to a trap. It became a trap of the devil, not only to all the people, but also unto who? Unto Gideon. It became something that he counted as a prize and something he worshiped and he looked to and he felt like was something of his accomplishment and to his house. Verse 28, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. So we see a long period of time that Gideon is judged here and there is a quietness in the nation of Israel. And Jeroboam, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. This is referring to Gideon. We've known that's another name they use for him. And Gideon had 70 sons, he had 70 sons of his own body begotten, for he had many wives. So we see here that he has multiple wives. Now, this is polygamy. There's nowhere in the Bible does God permit this. There's even spots in the Bible where God condemns this. That it's not something that's supposed to be happening. But Gideon, even though he said he did not want to become a king, he's acting like a king here because many times kings would have multiple wives. Not only does he compromise in that area, but you look in verse number 31, it says, and his concubine, which is another woman he would have relationships with, but was outside of marriage, that was in Shechem. She also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech. And we're going to learn about Abimelech next week. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of Abiezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. So once again, as soon as the judge passes away and dies, you see that circle we talked about, then they're going to go back to worshiping a false god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord, that God who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed their kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, I pray that you help us. Lord, first of all, that you help me, that you give me the words that you once said. Lord, that I say nothing that of myself, but Lord, what you once said, and Lord, I just be a vessel, a tool in your hands. And Lord, to those that are hearing, including myself, help our hearts to be ready to take in. Lord, help us to see the importance of finishing well. Probably many people in this room have had spiritual victories, have won spiritual battles. But Lord, we must continue on in the fight. Help us to remember that it was God that gave us the victory. Help us never lose sight of that. Help us to remember we must continue on fighting. And help us to remember to be satisfied with where God has placed us and with what God's given us to do. And always remembering the heritage that we leave behind. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to remember, if we want to talk about how to finish well, because, man, Gideon did these wonderful things. They even came to ask him to be king. He even had an interest in being a spiritual leader. But at the end of his life, what happens? He has set up the nation for a fall. He has set up this idol of an ephod. And it says not only did the whole nation come and was a whoring after and worshiping after instead of worshiping the one true God, himself became a snare to. And his family became a snare to. So you say, Pastor, well, I want to finish well. I want to do well. How do I finish well? The first thing is we need to remember God is the source of our victory. God is the source of our victory. I think that in verse number 23, some have even made this thought that Gideon faced his greatest battle here, the greatest accomplishment he had, the opportunity to become king of the greatest nation on the earth. He faces his battle and Gideon gets it right. He remembers, and he remembers himself back in chapter number 6. He was a coward. He was hiding from the Midianites. He was trying to thresh his wheat. He knew he was not no mighty man of valor like the angel of the Lord called him. He knew he was not someone that was going to be able to fight the Midianites on his own. And Gideon remembers it was God who won the victory. And even though the other Israelites did not understand it, Gideon knew that it was all about God. And because he knew it was about God, he says, I cannot be your king. Look what it says in verse number 22 here. He says that the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also. And look at that next phrase, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. It's not us. Gideon was saying, this was not me that did this. You should not be worshiping me. You should not be remembering me. I am not the one that should be your king. Look what it says in verse number 34. And the children of Israel remember not the Lord their God who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemy on every side. If we truly want to learn how to finish well in this Christian walk, we're going to have to remember this. It is God that has given us a source of our victory. It is God that has given us our strength to win. It is all about what God has done in our lives. It's not about us. It's not about the pride that we have or what we think we can accomplish or what we think we can do. It is God that has brought us this far. He's the one that saves us, and he is the one that enables us to live this Christian life. It is all about him. If we want to finish well, we have to continue to remember what God has done for us in the past and what he can enable us to do in the future. That's what happens here with Israel, though. Time after time again, they choose to forget God. They choose to go a whoring after other gods. It means worshiping other gods, living for other gods, bowing down to other gods and saying, you are our God, you are our Lord. That's what they would do. And many times in our own lives, when we're not, this is going to be important. If we really truly want to finish well, our focus has got to be on God. And anything good that we have accomplished, anything good that we've done, it's not of ourselves, it's of the Lord. And if we would continue to remember that, we have a much better chance to finish well. Second thing I want you to see is about how to finish well is remember God's plan for your life and embrace it. Remember God's plan for your life and embrace it. You say, where do you see that here? Well, Gideon got it right. He wasn't supposed to be a king. But Gideon here desires to have a spiritual role. The ephod is supposed to be worn by the high priest. Now, the high priest only comes from the Levites. And many times people are not satisfied with God's plan for their lives and for their roles in ministry. Instead of embracing God's way, they desire to make things their own way. Think about this. Israel has the greatest situation ever. God is their king. God is their leader. But what does Israel say? We want to make you king. In 1 Samuel, this comes up later. It's something they continue to ask about. And in 1 Samuel, they go to Samuel and say unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel. And when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And here's the point is that Gideon forgets what God's plan was. God's plan was not for him to have that spiritual influence. God's, at least as a role of a high priest or some type of spiritual role as his priesthood, he did not have God's intentions at heart when he made that ephod. That was something he desired to do. That's something he wanted to do. And that was something that became a snare and a trap to him. If we'll remember God's plan and we'll embrace God's plan for our lives, you know what we're going to do? We're going to finish well. But when we go outside of God's plan and outside of God's will and start doing the things that we think is best and the things that we think is right and start putting our noses in other areas that really we have no business looking at or talking to or being a part of, that's when, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to finish well. Gideon here, it's in the story because he made this ephod, and this ephod was there to help rule and consider what God's will. And you can see the spiritual emphasis there. He's saying, this nation needs some help spiritually. No, I'm not allowed to reign over them as king, but I can be a spiritual leader for them. And it becomes a horrible idea, and people begin worshiping the ephod instead of the one who delivered them. And Christian, it's important that we embrace the part that God has given us. We embrace God's plan for our life. If we really, truly want to finish well, we got to say, this is how God has made me. This is the job God's given me to do. And I'm going to do the best I can for the Lord with the talents and abilities given me. Some of us, he might allow us to have some position that is exalted. And some might have a position that isn't exalted. But if it's God's plan and God's will for your life, it is the best thing for your life and the best thing that you could do. You think about the nation of Israel. They said in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, they said, we want to be like all the other kings. He says, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But God had told them already that he did not want them to be like all the nations. God had already called them apart. He had set them apart. He says it was their glory that they were not like everybody else. It was the point that he loved them and he called them for a particular purpose and particular reason. He was going to bring the Messiah through their line. They were supposed to be different. They were supposed to have a special part. They were supposed to be different than the rest of the world, but they didn't embrace it. They said, no, we want to be like all the other nations. And when Samuel said, no, I don't want that, God said, go ahead and let them. God said, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. And Christian, I want you to understand, in our Christian lives, we have a plan. God has a purpose. Exodus chapter number 19, verses 5 and 6 says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. God is saying, this is my plan and my purpose for you, that you be a peculiar treasure, a holy nation above every other nation. You are not supposed to be like everybody else. You've been set apart for a purpose and a reason. Israel's like, we don't want you to be king. We don't want you to be Lord. Numbers 23:9 says, lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. God's purpose for them was to be a special nation for him. In church, I think many times we don't embrace God's will for us. He's got a plan and a purpose that doesn't include the things of this world. God's never intended for us to love the things of the world. He even tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He tells us, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to understand here, Gideon got it wrong because he forgot God's place. He forgot God's position for him. He didn't embrace it. He did on the battlefield, but afterwards, when the temptation came, he says, I think I know what I could do to help. It's not about what we want. Let's remember God's plan. He knew he shouldn't have been king, but he wanted to be some type of priestly recognition in Israel. This was all wrong. The priesthood belonged to the Levites, but by spiritual position, the priesthood belonged to the Levites. The spiritual positions belonged to the Levites. Spiritual positions are often coveted by mankind, and even when other positions are not coveted, spiritual positions sometimes are. King Uzziah wickedly ventured into the king of the work of a priest, and he was punished for it. Saul had wickedly entered into the position of the priest. Many folks want a spiritual position when they are not qualified. Some seek church offices for what they're not qualified for. I think about women and preaching roles. According to what the Bible says, they're not qualified for that. You say, that's just being mean. We need to embrace the role that God's given us. Whether we think it's what's best for us or not, if God's given us this opportunity, embrace what God's given to us. And remember, God loves us and he wants us to be different than the world. See, Gideon missed that. If we want to finish well, we truly want to keep on this course. Gideon had some of the most amazing stories in all the Bible. Because you think about it, he took 300 versus 135,000. But also he took over and knocked over his dad's Baal worship. I mean, that took guts. But you also saw that he dealt with those that came back after him from the Ephraimites. He dealt with the criticism. He dealt with being weak and tired. We saw all those different things, the challenges he was faced with last week, and how he continued on and he still succeeded in all this, but he never embraced what God wanted for the rest of his life. The third thing I want you to see is not only did he remember God had the glory, but if we want to finish well, we have to remember God's plan for our life and embrace it. Thirdly, we got to remember to continue to fight the flesh. You know, the flesh is not going to go away. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to deal with the flesh anymore? That we won a spiritual battle like Gideon did, and you got to get to some spiritual level where you never sin. There are some people who preach that. It's not biblical, but there are some people who preach that you can get to this point where you don't sin anymore. I guess I smile at them. I says, man, that must be really nice, because I know I struggle with it and I know I fight against it. And you never do anything wrong. Never do anything wrong. I'm amazed by that. It's just not true. They've deceived themselves. We must always continue to fight the flesh. He said in verse number 23, the Lord will rule over you. But you see later on, he asked for the king's ransom. He asked for the gold pieces. He asked for the $1 million. But later on, you see, he continues to act like a king. Look what it says in verse number 30. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. That was something that was what? That was not something that the Israelites were supposed to do. That's something that God had said the Israelites were not allowed to do. He was compromising. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17. The rulers of Israel were forbidden to take multiple wives. And it's important to remember, in Genesis chapter number 2, God brought Adam what? One wife, Eve. He only took one rib. He didn't take all the ribs and give him 12 or 13 wives. He didn't do that. It was one wife. And he compromises here. He wants to be like everybody else. He wants to, he's a celebrity. And the flesh is getting to him. It's okay, Gideon, go ahead. Get another wife, have another kid. And you see here that he does this, and not only does he do that, he goes out of wedlock, it says in verse 31, and his concubine that was in Shechem bare him a son. And so he's not fighting the flesh here. Now, pride is a really a tough thing. We must be on guard. Even though we have this great victory, even though we got our hearts right, and hey, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do this, I'm feeling good. The day is going to come when the devil is going to attack and he's going to try to get you another way. You might have this area accomplished and you might have this taken care of. No, I don't want to be king. I know that's wrong. Well, what about this other area? He's going to try to come after you. Gideon had won battles in many areas, but during this time of peace and after great victory, he let his guard down. Even though he said he did not want to be king, he began acting like a king. And there will never be a day and a time where we have to stop fighting until we get to heaven. You know, heaven's our home, and you know, we're going there someday, but before then and continuing on there, we must continue to stand. That's why the Bible says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now, we must continue to remember, continue to fight the flesh. If we want to finish well, we got to remember, God gives us the victory. We have to remember God's plan for our life, and we embrace God's plan. We don't try to go around it or go a different way. But we must continue to fight the flesh. Gideon does not finish well. He does not finish well because of the fact he doesn't fight the flesh in this area. Fourth thing, if you want to finish well, I think this is important, is to remember your legacy or your heritage or your testimony. Remember what you're leaving to the generation to follow. Gideon's life ends up being a casualty here. Say, why do you say that? And he has many wives and 70 kids. His testimony is ruined here. So where do you see that at? We look at the end of verse number 35. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jeroboam. In verse number 22, you can become king. We'll worship you. We'll do whatever you want. In verse 30, number 35, they're not even kind to their house after they die. What did they leave? What heritage did they leave behind? You see that earlier we mentioned it, that the ephod, that their family went whoring after it. Gideon, it became a snare to not only Gideon, but also to his house. In the end, this great man had lost his testimony. He had lost his influence. He had lost his family. After he died, the people continued a downward slide to idolatry. When Gideon died, he was relegated to the past. He was forgotten by very people that he had delivered. And we're told in the next chapter of one of his sons, a man by the name of Abimelech, and if I remember correctly, the name Abimelech means a son of a king. Now, why would Gideon name his son a son of a king if he didn't want to be king? And you come to this spot and you think, man, this man by the name of Abimelech, son by Gideon, the Gideon's concubine, we're going to learn about him next week, but he goes and he kills off his brothers just because he wants to rule. So what is the lesson here? It's when we walk in the ways that are not God's ways, our paths are not God's path, there is a terrible price to pay. There is really, truly a terrible price to pay when we do things our own way, when we get outside God's plans, and we do things the way we think is best, and we don't fight the flesh, we leave that legacy to our children. And then what do we have left behind? Look what it says here. Verse 34, and the children of Israel remember not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all the enemies on every side. You look in verse number 33, it talks about how they went a-whoring after Balaam again, and Baal beareth. You know, Gideon had an opportunity to be a great influence. Say, Pastor, you're conflicting yourself. You said that he wasn't supposed to be a high priest. But at this moment in time, he has the chance to influence this nation. And for 40 years, they didn't go after Baal. For 40 years, they listened to the God and to his precepts and the idea that they weren't worshiping false gods except for this ephod that they had put up. They were looking to the one true God. God gave him 40 years of peace. And what does he leave behind? He leaves behind a nation that slides right into idolatry. He leaves behind a family that's in a mess. The way we act toward God, the way we act toward his people, the way we act toward his word and toward his will speaks more loudly to those that are around us than what we say. Therefore, be careful how we act. Be careful for what we say. Be careful what we involve ourselves in. What you will do will affect those around you. Don't be a casualty of some foolish decisions. If you want to finish well. Gideon, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, he's mentioned there. In the list of judges, he's mentioned first. He's even mentioned before David, mentioned before Samuel. And that could be because of the where it's found at in Scripture. But he's mentioned before Barak, and Barak was before him. He's mentioned he has won some amazing battles. For that period of time, he did great. But he didn't finish well. Christian, I know that we want to finish well. I know some of us here are on the downhill. I know they say if we have 70 years in this world, and if you're over 35, you're going down the other side of the hill. And if you're over 50, over 60, over 70, you're going way down the hill. You know, things like that. But do we finish well? I mean, do we have the desire? How do we do that? Remember where our victories come from. They're from God. That's who we get our strength from. Secondly, embrace where you're at. Embrace the family you're at. Embrace the church that you're at. Embrace the ministry. Embrace the work. Embrace where God has put you at and the role that God has put you at, and be the best what God can make you be. And then next, fight the flesh. Stand therefore. Having done all that you can to stand, do everything you can to fight the devil. And then remember, you're leaving a testimony behind. There's somebody who's watching you. You say, I don't have any kids. It doesn't matter. There's people that are watching you. Yes, it's whether it's a church member that's younger or even a church member that's older, maybe a less mature person. There are people who are watching you. And no matter what your mouth says, your actions speak so much louder than your words. Be careful. Remember your legacy and the heritage and testimony you're leaving behind. Gideon, I think, forgot that. Gideon didn't finish well. Gideon's got some great messages in there, great sermons, great things that happened. But at the end of his life, I think he would say, I could have done better. Let's not have that. Instead, let's be like the Apostle Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Let us finish well. Remember, give God the honor. He gives us all the victories. Don't take pride in those things that you've accomplished. Those things you've accomplished for God, it's only been by the Spirit of God. Remember, embrace where you're at. Don't try to go outside. You say, well, I think this is best. I think embrace what God, the roles God's given you, biblical role that God's given you. Fight the flesh. Leave a good testimony. Remember your heritage. Let's go ahead and stand to